month we are talking about Abound in Love, and last week we talked about the importance of knowing that we're loved and having fellowship with Jesus so we can be filled back up. Today we're going to talk about loving God and what does that mean. So, first I want to start with kind of a recap from last time, but how do you know God loves you? This is for the peanut gallery. Everybody, how do you know God loves you?
Thanks.
Couldn't think of the word.
The blessings I've experienced and the people, well, not all the people, but most of the people God has placed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like everyone.
That's fair.
But you love a lot.
We're talking,
I love most of them.
Well, we're talking about how we know God loves us. So people he puts in our lives.
His mercy and his goodness.
His mercy and his goodness.
Wonderfulness. The creation.
Everything.
His presence.
And I agree with Anna about the creation because, you know, I've been in really nice places and I'm like, wow, God is so good. I went to an underground cave in Bermuda.
Oh,
it's really nice.
Cool.
Not
I feel like
I look, but yeah.
That's fair. I know for me, when I look back at everything he's done for me, like when I go answered prayers, mercy, grace, joy. All right. So now I want to ask, how does God know that you love him?
I need to work on that.
Right? Like, I mean, anyone have? I mean, it's okay if you don't, because we're gonna dig into this question today.
Prayer and feelings of thankfulness.
Feelings of thankfulness.
Yeah.
Worship.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time with God.
Spending time with God, right? So this is kind of a little cheesy, but I felt like this was very appropriate because there's very specific, because this whole song is how does she know you love her, right? If you haven't seen Enchanted, it came out the year I graduated high school, and it was a magical tale of a cartoon princess being dropped in New York. And, you know, all of that follows from there. I mean, you know, I have never lived in New York. I visited, but I swear, like, so many movies paint New York, like, as the worst place you can live. Like, the whole thing is she pushes her into a thing, and it's like, where did you send her? A place where there are no happy endings, right? Like, that's how New York is described. So when they were looking for the antithesis of this magical fairy kingdom, they sent them to New York. I am not saying that about New York, but I have noticed that that seems to be a... there are some movies that love New York, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, when people are like, where's the worst place we can send somebody?
New Jersey.
Well, New Jersey, true. New Jersey, anyone from New York will say New Jersey, but New Jersey doesn't have enough for people to send people
to.
Utah. Yeah, that doesn't happen in movies. Anyway, I just think there's some really great specific examples in this, and it's fun, so we're going to listen to this. Thinking about specific examples. But the one thing I like about that song is the, like, you know, how do you know, right? How does she supposed to know that because the whole point of this is he's not very romantic, and he's like, she knows, okay? She just knows, right? And I think that that's a question sometimes that we need to ask, like, how does God know that I love him? What do I do? What do I do to show God that I love him? And that's kind of our main focus today. What do we do to show God that we love him, right? And not just take him for granted. You know, do we leave him little notes to make him smile, right? And how does God know? So we're going to kind of really dive into that today. So we're going to look at Mark 1, 28 through 34. Can someone read it off their sheet? Because
I'll do it.
Thank you.
One of my teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Awesome. So this, like, the teacher, he had just been asked, specifically trying to entrap him. He had just been asked about... you know, what about a woman who's been married to, like, the seven husbands because the law required, like, you know, without sons, you're supposed to get married again, and then that guy died, And then she got married again to the next brother, and that guy died, and there were no children. Whose husband is she at the resurrection? Right? That was what they all wanted to know, right? And that was the whole thing, because half of them didn't believe in the resurrection, right? Because they were just trying to trick him. And he's like, you guys are really dumb. Like, that's basically his answer was, don't you know that everyone's like the angels in the kingdom of heaven, right? And so this guy comes along, and he was like, hey, he's got a good answer there. Let me ask him this, right? And so, the Shema is the Deuteronomical verse that was like their big prayer that they would say, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Kind of like the Our Father in today's world, like that was their big thing. And then they would talk about the love your God, etc. But that was a important prayer to the Jewish people, okay? And it always starts with, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then it talks about loving the Lord, and the second commandment being loving the Lord as yourself. And I love this, because this is one of the only people who is a teacher of the law that ever says, well said, teacher, to Jesus, right? And saying that God is one, and there's no other but him. To love with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. It is interesting to me because in the Deuteronomy verse, it doesn't say mind, but Jesus adds mind. And then when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to them, you're not too far, right? You're understanding the kingdom. And the other place where this story is told is Matthew. It's a little bit shorter. But Jesus says at the end of it, all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commands, right? Everything that the Bible basically is, the entire Old Testament, you can just break it down and say it's about loving God and loving your neighbor. That's it. And so the laws were created to either help us love God or to love our neighbor, right? That was the purpose of these laws. And, I mean, and it gets really, really specific, right? But that's also why there were so many rules and laws about debts, right? Like, you can't... Usury was, if you don't know, usury means...
Lending with interest,
and a very high interest rate, like, right? Usury. Thank you. I was like, I know the term. But like that was a huge sin for people, and people were always talking about it. What is a sin nobody talks about anymore? Usury, right? Like, because the Old Testament had really strict laws about that, right? Because you can't love your neighbor when you're charging them 20% on a credit card, right? That's not love of neighbor. And so all these laws, all these things, like even those, like about women and stuff, right? At the time, sometimes you read it and you're like, wow, that seems awful. But the heart of it is always about loving your neighbor, right? And this is kind of a side note, but also really important. Like, one of the big things people, especially in the patriarchal community, loves to quote is God hates divorce, right? And Malachi. But they take it out of context, because what he's saying is, do not abandon the wife of your youth, right? For God hates divorce. Because it's all about, do not abandon the person you're supposed to protect because you saw a pretty young thing on the side. It is a commandment really directed straight at the men of the time who could divorce, because women couldn't give a divorce. Like, women can just be like, I'm done here, right? Like, this was a command to the men at the time, because that woman would have been exiled and essentially homeless. So all of those commands are about love, you know, loving God or loving one another. The Sabbath, right, is about loving God and God's love for us, right? But it is a choice to say, I trust you that I can get my work done and what I need done in 6 days. Yes?
Just thinking, like, because the Sabbath also talks about not working your animals, not working
your... Yes, so it is a love for others as well.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not a... And it is a thing, because it's real easy to be like, okay, I'll Sabbath. I got a farm boy, you know, I play this game called Lynx, and it was like the difference between sci-fi and fantasy and what would connect to them, and one of the farm boy, like, was that a connection or a difference? But how so much sci-fi and fantasy always has a farm boy. more fantasy has more farm boys, but like, you know, I can't be like, oh, I got a farm boy. I don't have to, like, I'm in a Sabbath, but he's going to make sure my house is warm by cutting all the fire, wood, and all that other stuff, so it's fine, right? The whole point is that I'm trusting God to provide, not people. And so all of these laws, all these things, and sometimes they're weird, let's be honest. Like, we look at this and we're like, but I mean, it's so specific too. Like, things about mold are there, and it's all about cleanliness, right? Like, because we know now that mold is very dangerous and will kill you. right? And they didn't know that back then. They were just told to do it. And if they did do it, they didn't spread mold, right? Like, good thing. So all of the laws, all of these things. And then, on top of this, when we talk about, Jesus is talking about the Old Testament. But at this time, they also had what's called the Mishnah. They also had the Talmud, which was like the Mishnah plus extra oral commentary. But the Mishnah was a whole other book. It's not like this thick. And it's just extra laws. And like, they were all these extra laws they were expecting people to follow, right? And they were created, right, in a way to help you follow the other laws. Kind of like when you think of the extreme, like, you know, don't gamble, curse, or chew, or run with girls that do, right? That's not in the Bible, but they're like, well, if you don't do these things, you won't get into lust. Or like, you know, don't dance, because you might, like, you know, fall into sexual sin if you dance, right? It's, the Bible never says don't dance, but some people were like, well, we got to protect people from sexual sin, so we're going to tell them not to dance, right? Like, that was the Mishnah was. It was all the extra, like, we're just going to create a boundary around the boundaries, right? So we don't even get close. That was the goal. So during this time period, it's kind of like trying to memorize the English phonetic rules. Like, people always talk about how English doesn't follow rules. English the problem with English is that there are too many rules. It's not that it doesn't follow its rules, it's that there's so many rules.
It's a hard language.
It's a very hard language. Like, I didn't realize how many rules there were until I started teaching the rules, right? Like, and I was just like, oh my gosh, there are so many rules here. Like, and we just do it all the time, right? And it depends on, that's why in spelling bees they ask language of origin. Because the E sound is spelled differently if the word comes from French or if it comes from German, right? Or Spanish. Yeah, it's just spelled differently. And so the Mishnah is like trying to memorize all those rules. And they're not even God's rules, right? So the Israelite community right now, the Jewish people, have so many laws to follow. So many. And they're trying to keep them all in their heads, right? And that's a lot. And Jesus is like, hey, it's just about loving God and loving your neighbor. And next week, Luke's going to talk more about loving your neighbor. Today, I'm going to talk about loving God. So the command to love God with all our heart, our soul, mind, and strength is a command to love God with everything you have. And like, when you read commentaries, they all just talk about, oh, it's for emphasis, right? But I started really thinking about this, and I was like, I'm not saying that these are, like, a hard and fast...
What's the word I want?
Dichotomy. But it was helpful for me to look at these as individual pieces to see where in my life am I loving God well? Because I think it's really easy to be like, oh, yeah, I love God with everything I have, right? But, like, what does that mean practically, right? When we do extremes... it's a little easier to be like, yes, right, than like this. So I want to talk about this. So heart. Well, first I'm going to let you guys talk, and then I will talk. What does it mean to God to love God with all your heart and soul? What does that mean to you? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Value, like putting God at the top. Like, you know, value God and value God first, but also in other things value God too.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Luke.
I think trust is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't trust you, I'm not going to love you at all. And I'm not going to open my heart and soul to you.
Yeah.
I went with having a passion and feeling like your existence is wrapped in God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's pretty. Yeah. All right. So I broke it down, and I'm not... this is exactly what this means. Take this as gospel truth. I think this is a helpful way to frame it and to look at it. I just want to be clear on that. So when I looked at heart, I thought of Luke 6:45, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, right? So what do your words reveal about what is in your heart, and are you loving God there well? So when I think of when I'm loving God with my heart, my words are my fruit there, okay? So how are my words showing that I'm loving God? In James, it talks about how you can't, you know, say you love God and curse a brother, right? That's, like, doesn't work, right? Out of the same mouth should not be blessing and cursing. So what comes out of our mouth reveals the fruit of our heart.
I need to work on that.
Yeah, I mean, and believe me, when I was writing this sermon, I was like, I am so convicted of everything right now. So I just want you to know, if you're feeling that, that's a good thing, because that's really what, this should be a little convicting. This should be a little how am I loving God? Right? Because I feel like we focus so much how do I love others well? How do I do this well? But, like, am I loving God well? Am I doing that well?
I love God.
And so, yeah, that's a big question to do. And then when I looked at soul, soul is really hard. Because soul is, everybody's got an opinion on what the word soul means. And, like, if you, like, look at the, like, theological dictionary, the entry on soul is so long, right? Like, it's, because soul can refer, like, it can be, you know, used in place of a person, like, you know, my soul is me, or it can be.
Soulmate.
Not in the Bible, I'm talking about Bible. But, like, it can also be, like, talking about energy, passion. It can be modern psychology, talks about it being your inner being. And most people today have a dichotomy, dualistic version of, like, everybody is a soul and a body, but they're interconnectedly linked. There are some people who believe that we are body, soul, and spirit, and those are all linked. And then there gets into a debate, what's the difference between what's soul and what's spirit? But in the context of this passage, the best thing I got for you. Oh, and then there's even a passage in Hebrew where the word for soul is used to talk about a body. So, like, it gets really hard. But in the best I could do with this context is that soul is, like, the energy, passion, personality of our lives. That's the best I got for you. And it's really hard, and I think there's probably more. But what do our this is kind of where I got to. What do our actions reveal about our love for God? Kind of what I was thinking about when I was soul. Because my personality, there's this quote. You'll have to forgive me. I forget who said it. But it says, watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions because they become your character. Watch your character because it becomes your destiny. One of my favorite quotes, and I'm
really
so
cool.
So sorry I can't remember who said it. But so that's kind of what I put here with soul. I'm not 100% saying that this is like soul means actions. I'm just saying as I was thinking about this, what do my words reveal? What do my actions reveal about my love for God? And then we have, what does it mean to love God with your mind and strength? What are our thoughts then?
You think about God.
Okay, thinking about God.
And you push through, you know, difficult times for God.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer already said trust, but I definitely think trust is being a mind thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trust and faith. And yeah.
Trust is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mine goes a lot with, I don't know, like you have the plant with the soil. It's like working the soil and making things, doing what God told you to do with what you have.
There. You can't see it because of this stupid light, but there's a really cool multicolored picture of a brain behind that, too.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You can't really
okay.
see it, but it is really
once
pretty,
you said
I promise.
That, though, I can
still
well, even under soul, and now and then looking at the plant again, I'm thinking depth. You have to put roots down. They have to grow deep for
mm-hmm.
you to have to, you know.
Yeah.
And you have to love from the inside. I mean, from your toes to your head. I mean, depth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just going to think, like, how you spend your time and the discipline.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely. So the Bible talks a lot about mind, and in, you know, Philippians, it talks about, like, think about things that are good and noble. But what I really like, mind, I went with thoughts, and Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
I love the book of Romans.
Yeah. So this, like, you have to be transformed, it takes the renewing of your mind. And how we spend our time, like, what we choose to think on, right, or what we choose to focus on, like, what does my thought life say about my love for God? And if you're like me, my thought life is like, I want to talk about this cool show I just saw. Or, did you see the new Avengers trailer, right? So, like, what does my thought life, like, this was very convicting for me. Because I'm like, I don't feel currently that I'm really being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I used to be really good about that. But I feel like lately I've just not been as good about that. Like, I've just been like, the world sucks and I'd rather talk about fiction. That's where I've been. I'm just being honest. This was very convicting and something that moving forward I really want to work on. Yes.
That this is ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as especially as I look
present
back,
tense.
I have longer to look back on it. Yeah. But it's you're constantly transforming and seeing something, all of a sudden it clicks, or
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden
yeah.
it, you're convicted, or all of a sudden it's like, well, it's not all of a sudden, but I'm just saying it is a continual process.
Yeah.
Yes, and we've talked about before how our brains evolved to be lazy, right?
Yeah.
Really, they evolved to store energy. So that your brain is like a river, right? It wants to take the path of least resistance. So it's going to do, that's why it takes, you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because it does, if you want to do a new discipline, if you want to think new thoughts, you have to actually, like, work, right? And your brain's like, nah. Your brain, yeah, your brain is naturally inclined to be like, but we could just do this. Like, let's throw, because you have these neurons that fire, and they want to fire just like a river rolls down the path of least resistance. It's like, oh, we've done this before. Let's go this way. Let's see what we can spark this way. And when you're like, no, we're going to do this, it's like, so it is, it takes discipline, as Winston was saying. And it is a constant thing. And this is like the only one really, like, where you and God are the only judges here. Ooh. Right? Because, like, I can look at someone's words. I can hear them. You know, well, look at them if they're written. You know, and I can see someone's actions, right? And what that displays. But what someone's thinking, I don't know. I'm not a telepath. I don't know what you're thinking. And so that's a really big, like, that's between you and God. And then lastly, strength. I kind of summarize this as persistence. How well do I love God when he feels absent? Like, how, that's what I was thinking about when I thought of this. Like, because I feel like that's what takes the most strength, is loving God, like, loving someone when they don't feel like they're there. So, how well do I love God when he feels absent? So, these are all questions for you to think about, because I don't know the answer for you. I know that as I was writing this sermon, I felt very convicted, because I feel like, kind of like I've been in a long-term relationship with God, and like I haven't tried to romance him in a while. You know what I mean? Like, I've been like, yeah, things are, you know, pretty good in my life. Like, I've known God for a long time. I know he loves me. He knows I love him. But I haven't really been like, you know, God, let's get together, just us two. Like, let's really pour into your word. I haven't done that in a while, and I felt very convicted writing this. So I don't know where you are. Maybe you're like me, when you're like, I've been with God for a really long time, and I don't remember the last time I pursued him or let him pursue me, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe you're like, you know, I'm doing pretty good on these things, and maybe you can offer encouragement to someone else, like, it's worth it, right? Or this is how I make time in my day, or this is how I find hope in the midst of so much chaos or darkness. All right, and then we have 1 John 5:3, where Anna already kind of, I'm going to have Anna read this one, because she already gave away this answer earlier when she said obedience is a big thing, so.
This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome.
I kind of love that, like, because, I mean, it doesn't always feel that way. God's like, and his commands are not burdensome. Like, you're just supposed to love people, and I'm like, John, sometimes that's really hard. Sometimes loving God is really hard, because you're like, where are you? But, like, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And that was what I really first went to when I was thinking of loving, like, the first original draft of this sermon. I was, like, looking at, okay, what are the commands of God? And I started, like, listing, like, the different commands that were to, and then, like, where am I not following commands? Which is a whole nother sermon, and we don't have time to get into all of that. So, God has commands, right? Do not bear false witness. I'm just going to leave some that came on, right? Is one of the commandments. And I think that's important, because it's not just about not lying. Like, gossip is a form of false witness, right? Do not, because unless you know it's true, if you know it's true, it's not necessarily gossip, right? It's not. Like, unless you're spreading it maliciously or something else. Like, there is, like, at my work, I remember having this conversation with a coworker. Everyone got their assignments for the next year. And she's like, oh, I'm glad I'm not in the building, so I don't want to deal with the gossip. And I was like, it's not gossip if it's true. Like, I'm teaching 4th and 5th grade is not gossip. Like, I was just very, like, you know, who's someone, that's not gossip, right? So, like, there are some things that are not gossip, right?
I don't,
like, that's just a true state, you know, like, there's no gossip.
I think she meant drama.
Maybe she, I think she probably did mean
drama.
Yeah, she probably did mean drama, but I was so confused by that, because I was like, that's not gossip.
That's true.
That's just truth, right? So I do want to, like, you know, it's not gossip to say, you know, the president of the United States did this when you, you know, or whatever. Like, something that is true. It's not always good to share what someone did. And it depends on, but you're bearing false witness when you didn't see it and you're just telling other people. Like, oh, did you hear about what Kelly did? Like, because I heard from so-and-so, right? Like, and that's bearing false witness.
I heard a rumor.
Or, yes. Sorry. But the... The thing about that, too, is, like, Christians, we do that through prayer requests sometimes. Right? Like, let's just be honest. I would like you to pray for so-and-so because I heard, right, that they're going around with somebody else's husband or whatnot. That's, you know, an extreme example. But that is kind of like what we do. Even when I sent out the text about Freetown, verbally I've heard more things, but I don't have any proof. So I was like, I'm just going to share this. This is the information I have. We should pray for Freetown Elementary because that is terrifying. I may or may not have more information, but I can't verify it. So I'm not going to do that.
I'm working on spreading true information.
There you go. But, like, you know, that's bear false witness. Like, and that's a command we don't always talk about. Because I feel like the commands we always get talked about, right, are like, you know, don't sleep around before you're married, right? Like, and... Don't sleep around. You're right. That was poorly phrased. Just don't sleep around.
No, right. They're sleeping in the kitchen. They're sleeping in the bedroom.
Exactly. Sleeping in the kids' room. Yeah. I even saw them sleeping out back.
But, you know, those are ones. But it's important to also remember the other ones, right, that God commands us to. And, like, God accuses his Israelites at one point of robbing God, right? Because they're not bringing the full tithe into the storehouse. And there are commands that God has. The Sabbath, that's the one everybody loves to break, especially in modern America. You want me to take a whole day off of work? Have you seen this? Like, have you seen? Like, the Sabbath sometimes can feel so stressful for me because I'm like, God, do you see my to-do list? There's no way I can do that. Like, but, like, every time I choose the Sabbath and to give it to God, somehow it gets done anyway. And I'm always like, wow, how did that happen, right? But that's another one that gets violated all the time that we don't talk about. I mean, I talk about it, but, like, not, like, it doesn't get talked about. And I understand because they're hard, right? But choosing to Sabbath is a saying, I love you, God. I trust you. It's kind of like if when you have a significant other, and this is something that I think this is why I've never had a significant other, because it's really hard for me. If they're, like, really into golf and you're like, all right, I'm going to watch 3 hours of golf with you. Like, I can't do that. Like, there's a part of me that's like, I do not want to watch 3 hours of golf. I don't care how much I love you. And that's a me issue. That's a me issue, right? But that's kind of like, you know, like, I may not want a Sabbath or I may not want to do this, but if I'm loving God well, I am. And I do love God enough. I love God enough to watch 3 hours of golf. I think.
really made it more interesting than it used to be.
I will say I get that from my mother because she's not interested in all my superheroes. So she's just like, I don't want to know. So, like, you know.
In the bud.
Yeah. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I applaud those of you who are like, yeah, I love you. I can watch this or get interested in this. Nope, can't. Not doing it. Like,
I've watched enough Disney movies that I think it's fair.
Oh my God, yes. My mom,
past that point, right?
Just a small aside. My mom got this movie.
Have to watch for the sake of love.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. I don't remember. There was a day mom was like, I was working on the couch, so I didn't care what she was watching. She got this terrible movie from the library.
What movie?
It's called Chex. It's about a girl who travels across...
Oh, it's really bad.
1,700 miles across Australia just to do it, right? And it's literally... There's,
oh,
is
my
it funny?
Sister did
no,
die.
It's not funny.
It's nothing.
No.
She, yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Die.
Yeah. This woman didn't die, and but she's just not a nice person in general. And you're just, so she's the only character, and she's going 1,700, and then the only thing that happens in this movie is the dog dies. And I was like, Mother, this is the worst movie ever. It's been sucky, and the only character I like is dead. Yeah, it was awful. Okay, sorry, that's an aside.
She shot the dog.
She shot the dog.
Oh my gosh.
Well, the dog ate poisoned kangaroo. Anyway. Right? But I will say this was a test of my love for God because I finished all of my work and I'm like, I'm going to go.
Wait,
and my mom looked at me and said, I watched too much crap for you. You are going to stay here. And I did. And it was, and it did not get better. There is no point in this meeting.
I didn't like it either.
Yeah, she didn't like it either. I was like, we could just turn it off.
Why did that's, you? Why did you start
with
it?
Okay,
you
okay.
Finish the movie. You got to get better.
Yeah, you got to finish
that's how
it.
I felt about watching Iron Lung with my roommate. I didn't tell her that I thought it was ridiculous.
Is that a Sigourney movie?
Is
that the one where
it's very confusing?
That's just came out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's supposed to be
good.
Oh,
it just came out.
Okay.
That's
weird.
All right. Watch it, and then we'll talk about
okay.
it.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, I don't recommend watching Tracks. It's just about a woman who hates people and decides to walk across the desert for no reason. Like, there's no, like...
Okay, this was back in the 70s, where women did not make...
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of...
There was a little bit of a...
Yes, people found it inspiring. She's like, I didn't do this to inspire others. I just did it.
No, she didn't.
She was like...
she did
anyway,
it
we're
no,
way off topic,
off.
But go ahead, really quick.
I'm thinking about when Katie and I watched a movie this
Oh, yes, I did that!
Summer.
Didn't like that movie either.
I'm sorry! I
it was fine.
It was interesting.
But I was like, I love Jenna. So I guess I do it more than I think.
Okay?
Okay.
I know what you did last summer.
The original or the
new one?
The new one.
I went
on my own. There's your first mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I will say that I don't get nearly as scared as I did as a child. I was just like, this is ridiculous. I was like, there's not, like, serial killers are not so easily identifiable. They're much scarier because they're just normal people.
I didn't know serial killers are much scarier in real life.
Right?
Like, this movie doesn't scare
me. How many of you come across just out of gear?
I love that movie, though.
She did. She had a great time. But okay. So, but that is a type of love. This is, I've gotten way off topic, and that's not mine. But that's a type of love, right? Like, I don't...
boredom out of love.
Yes, I will. I'm going to love you because I just want to... I'm going to be there with you, right? And that's kind of what God asks us to do sometimes. Like, are you going to be there with me? Do you want to notice what I'm seeing, right? And that's hard. It's a lot harder because noticing what God's seeing takes spiritual awareness. Right? There's this beautiful song by Brandon Heath called Give Me Your Eyes for Just 1 Minute. To be able to see, I might play that up when we do communion, but just to see what God is seeing about the people around you. And that, right? That is a whole different level of hard because you have that take your brain, who, remember, fundamentally lazy, I don't want to do work, being focused and not just people watching, but people watching through the eyes of God with love and compassion. Go ahead, Luke.
I was just thinking, like, in a relationship, I think it applies to relationship with God as well. You can, you know, you might not take joy in the movie that you know watching with somebody, but you might take joy in their joy or their passion of it,
or knowing that you're doing it for them.
Yes.
Yeah, like, so I don't think it's just.
I take joy. Joy and complaining with my mom. So.
Well, yeah, you know, you both didn't like the movie and got to complain together.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, like just because they're like, and I think that can apply to God, Leo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we can do the hard thing with God, and maybe it's hard and we don't like it, but there's another aspect to it that is rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point.
But then, in your very last statement, and his commands are not burdensome, that, you know, he knows you want to take the easy road. Look at the commands, and this is something I've kind of always said. They are not burdensome. They are a way of, that you want everybody to, I want my neighbors to live by the commandments, whatever, you know, religion you are.
Speak
you know?
For yourself.
But yes, there is a sense, if everybody's living in a sense of to love God and love others, yeah, that would be great. That doesn't
Well, and
really
we don't
matter.
Want anybody to steal for you.
You
don't want to covet. You don't want to,
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You don't want to steal from people.
I don't like celibacy. I want to work.
I understand, right? Like, there is no one, like, you know, and that's one of those... I mean, and that's
it
a really
is not
hard thing.
Easy.
It is not, right? It's not. And people are like, yay, it's, you know, like, his commands are not burdensome. Because when we're focusing on God and we're loving God, that's when it's easy. Because you think about it, when you really love someone, you like, shoveling snow sucks, right? But when you love someone a lot and you're like, I don't want my mother shoveling snow. She still did it and hurt herself even though I told her not to. But like, I don't want my mother shoveling snow. I don't like shoveling snow, but because I love my mother, I would much rather, like, it's not burdensome to me to shovel the snow, right? If I was living by myself, super burdensome. Right? Like, now I'm just doing it for me, and what do I really, you know? Like, so I do think there's that aspect. When you're focusing on the love of someone else, it's not nearly as burdensome, right? It's kind of like if you, you know, for those of you like me who's ever lived alone, when you're, like, cooking for one, you're like, I can eat a block of cheese tonight. And then, like, when you're cooking for other people, you're like, I can't serve a block of cheese. Like, that's not dinner, right?
I put some meat underneath it. I gotta have meat or block of cheese on meat, and it is a meal.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So,
you throw a carb in there, and
we're full circle. Anyway, my point being that I think that's when it says his commands are not burdensome. When you're focused on God, it gets easier. I know, it's hard. I know, Kelly. I know. It's really hard. And it's really hard, like, yes?
Okay. Are you committing adultery if you're not committed? Relationship if you're not in a committed relationship?
Oh, wait. Are you, if you're sleeping around? What's the question? I'm confused. Because at first they thought you were just asking me. No, no. I thought you were asking me if I was committing adultery. I was like, what? Sorry, what is your question?
Never mind. It's not
appropriate. I think one partner has to be married in order for it to be categorized as adultery. Yeah,
there's other classifications.
I think there's another
like,
word for it.
Sexual immorality.
Yeah,
that's
sexual
word.
Well, yeah, sleeping around is sexual immorality, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Marriage
but
is
you're not betraying anybody if neither one is in a committed relationship, correct?
No.
You're betraying yourself and your own.
Okay, I'm not going to do it because it's sexual,
like,
but it's
pristineness.
Was there someone you were planning on sleeping around? Like,
no, no, no. I'm just,
what is happening right now? Totally derailed. I don't know what this is. This is not where I thought this sermon was going to go.
I'm sorry.
Obeying God is intimately connected to loving Him. Okay? So obeying Him, all of these ways we obey Him, are intimately connected to loving Him. And like, and again, I'm so grateful God gives us a new heart, right? And a new way of thinking about things. Right? Because that's what makes the obeying God. Sometimes it doesn't feel worth it. Right? Sometimes in, is it March? I think, yeah, March, we're going to talk about sin. Looking forward to that sermon.
Sin.
That's everybody's favorite. So we'll really deep dive into all the sin.
I was going to end up on a third week and I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
That
yeah. Luke hates preaching the fourth week. Thanks. She's like, no, I'll take the fourth week. I'm not doing sin. I was like, I got it. It's fine. But anyway.
Sin.
Anyway, that's coming up. So,
dude,
you know.
We need a sin bin in our old classroom.
What?
A sin bin.
We have like a penalty box?
Yeah, we like put like a rectangle, like duct tape on the floor. And
when the beta fish and the boy aquarium fight, they have to go to the sin bin.
Yeah, they go to the sin bin.
Okay, well, I am so lost. All right, obeying God, right? Let's talk about...
I will be working for Canada.
Right, and that's the love. And we obey, it's kind of like one of those things which came first, because we obey because we love God, and we love God because we obey Him. Like, they're all, we obey God because we love Him, right? But love is, we can't love God unless we obey. Like, it's kind of like saying, oh, yeah, like, Anna, I love you, but I never want to see your face. Like, right? That's kind of like the, and God's like, because God does not show up when there's sin. The whole book of Leviticus, which is, I get it, it's a hard book, but the whole thing was God's like, I want to dwell with you, and this is what you're going to have to do to dwell with me, right? Because I'm not going to live where there's sin, right? That is God's boundary.
It's like when your house is roaches.
Yes.
Ew.
Right? And you say, like, I, you know, you're not going to want to live. I don't want to live with roaches. I have lived with roaches. It was awful. But anyway.
When she was on her own. Okay, not growing up.
The whole place.
Katie's lived a lot of places.
I have lived a lot
of
places.
It could be anywhere.
Yes.
My mother does protest too much, she thinks.
Well, there was
I don't know. She keeps me playing adultery in the middle of the sermon, so I'm just lost. So I lost the train of thought. Anyway.
Bring us back.
Yes. Tracy, you haven't talked. Will you read Samuel 15:22?
But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than to have the fat of rams."
Good. So this is after Saul, where like God's like, kill everything. And then Saul's like, well, I kept the best stuff to sacrifice, right? And this is where Saul gets rejected as king. Because he's like, no, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to use this as worship to God. And God says, no, I want your obedience. I don't want your sacrifices, right? This in the modern day might be, you don't see it as much anymore, but I think if you're in a higher social economic class or been to those churches, you might see it where people are like, I send a lot on Saturday. Here's an extra 100 in the plate. Right? Like, I messed up. I'm sorry. I'm probably going to do it again. Here's $200. Right? Like, this is how I don't see that at our church.
Love
so, bombing. Yeah.
Well, here's $1,000 if you look the other way.
Yeah, like, right? If we never talk about this again. Right? Or people who, you know, make their money in less than legal means. And then they're like, but I'll just give some to God. I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying.
Hypothetical.
Yes.
We're not gossiping.
Yes. And, but you know, there is that sense, but oh, I only kept the $3,000 I found in the parking lot because I was going to give $1,000 to God. Right? Like, I think it might have, I saw what, you know, who pocket it fell out of, but I kept it to give it to God.
I was
going to
say, if it's just laying on the ground,
yeah.
I'm going to assume that God has blessed me.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I better make this more specific.
If it's a wallet, I'm going to give it to
But the point is,
yeah.
It's like God doesn't, and some of us, right, are like, well, I work really hard for God. I serve him. I do things. I'm going to have this little bit of sin is mine. And I'm not giving it up. Right? Like,
yeah.
God, I will give you Sunday through Friday, but Saturdays are mine. Right? That's kind of like the, and he's like, no, I want your obedience, not your sacrifice. Right? I want your obedience. That's worship. Right? And that gets really hard. It is really hard. And sometimes, right, because we just have, you know, like, there are times when it's just, there's an very, it doesn't happen often, but there are times there's an audible, like, God is like, go here. Right? And honestly, I feel like those are easier to obey sometimes because you're like, oh, God really told me to do this, right? I should do this. Unless you're Jonah. Or me. But, like, you know, I think in general, there's a little, but then there's just this vague, like, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? That's the question we have. And that's why I love Thessalonians, where it says, like, rejoice in everything, pray always, right? And that's God's will for you, right? And then Micah, what does God require of you?
I love
you. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And sometimes it's like, well, what does that actually mean, God? I want a playbook. And like, God's like, no, I want you to be with me and figure this out.
So. I think sometimes also we kind of do the Pharisee thing of like, but who is my neighbor? Like, where do I, what exactly do you? You know,
I
we get legalistic because
right.
They don't want to do
yes.
It.
Right, we want
yes.
To pull it apart.
Oh, yeah, there's always a good, I'm really great at loopholes. You didn't say I couldn't do this. So.
Yeah,
you
don't eat the daisies, right?
Yeah, right? Like
I ate the roses.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so where are you delaying to obey God? This is, again, this sermon is really a lot of questions for you. And I have no idea. Maybe you're like, I got it. Maybe you are a little more sanctified than me, and you're like, I got it, I'm not delaying, I'm following God. I know for me, I don't know if it's obedience, but I know that for me, I've not been renewing my mind. Mm. That's where, I'm not loving God with all my mind right now. Like, I can say that very easily. And so that's not necessarily obedience, but that's a way of putting it. I guess you could also ask, like, where are you delaying to love God? That's my last question. While you think about that, I'm going to do communion, and I'm going to throw... Oh, wait. I have one more. I lied.
Do we have juice?
No, we have orange slices. Sorry. It's weird. So ending with, how does God know that you love him, and how does the world know? And while you think about that, I'm going to play Give Me Your Eyes for just 1 minute, because it's such a good song for today. Okay, go away.
My good heart...
I just thought, how does God know that you love him? Omniscience.
I got that. I like that. I'm gonna borrow that too.
I don't know.
Well, and then in Peter, when he asks him, how do I know you love me and all this stuff, and he says, feed my sheep over and over again. All right. Here you go. I'm gonna pass up. Don't take communion yet, but journal, and I'll pass things out. If you are online, feel free to grab some juice and a small piece of bread or something to join us with communion.
Or an orange slice.
Those oranges look dark.
I know, I thought they might be grapefruit for a second.
Yeah.
Best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top. Hold on for the sun to stop. breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can't see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms.
Obeying God is intimately connected to loving him, okay? So obeying him, all of these ways we obey him, are intimately connected to loving him. I'm so grateful God gives us a new heart, right? And a new way of thinking about things, right? Because that's what makes the obeying God. Sometimes it doesn't feel worth it, right? Sometimes in, is it March? March we're going to talk about sin. Looking forward to that sermon. That's everybody's favorite. So we'll really deep dive into all the sin.
I was going to end up on the third week, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Luke hates preaching, like preaching the fourth week. Thanks. She's like, no, I'll take the fourth week. I'm not doing sin. I was like, I got it. It's like, but anyway.
Sin.
Anyway, that's coming up. So, you know.
We need a sin bin in our old classroom.
What?
A sin bin.
Is that like a penalty box?
Yeah, we like put like a rectangle like duct tape on the floor, and when the kids
when
are back,
when
go
the beta
the
fish
bin.
And the boy aquarium fight, they have to go to the sin bin.
Yeah, they go to the sin bin.
Okay. Well, I am so lost. All right, obeying God, right? Let's talk about.
And I will be ready for Canada.
Right, and that's the love, and we obey. It's kind of like one of those things which came first, because we obey because we love God, and we love God because we obey him. Like, they're all, we obey God because we love him, right? But love is, we can't love God unless we obey. Like, it's kind of like saying, oh yeah, like, Anna, I love you, but I never want to see your face. Like, right? That's kind of like the, and God's like, because God does not show up when there's sin. The whole book of Leviticus, which is, I get it, it's a hard book, but the whole thing was God's like, I want to dwell with you, and this is what you're going to have to do to dwell with me, right? Because I'm not going to live where there's sin, right? That is God's boundary.
It's like when your house has roaches.
Yes.
Ew.
Right? And you say, like, you're not going to want to live, I don't want to live with roaches. I have lived with roaches. It was awful. But anyway,
when she was on her own, okay, not growing up.
The whole place.
Katie's lived a lot of places.
I have lived a lot.
It could be anywhere.
Yes.
My mother does protest too much, she thinks.
Well, there was.
I don't know. She keeps me playing adultery in the middle of the sermon, so I'm just lost. So I've already lost the train of thought. Anyway.
Bring us back.
Yes. Tracy, you haven't talked. Will you read Samuel 15:22?
But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than to fat the fat of rams."
Good. So this is after Saul, where like God's like, kill everything, and then Saul's like, well, I kept the best stuff to sacrifice, right? And then this is where Saul gets rejected as king. Because he's like, no, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to use this as worship to God. And God says, no, I want your obedience. I don't want your sacrifices, right? This in the modern day might be, you don't see it as much anymore, but I think if you're in a higher social economic class or been to those churches, you might see it where people are like, I sinned a lot on Saturday, here's an extra 100 in the plate, right? Like, God, I messed up, I'm sorry, I'm probably going to do it again, here's $200, right? Like, this is how, I don't see that at our church.
Love
bombing. Yeah.
Well, here's 1,000 if you look the other way.
Yeah, like, right? If we never talk about this again. Like, right? Or people who, you know, make their money in less than legal means. And then they're like, but I'll just give some to God. I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying.
Hypothetical.
Yes.
We're not gossiping.
Yes. And But, you know, there is that sense. But, oh, I only kept the $3,000 I found in the parking lot because I was going to give $1,000 to God. Right? Like, I think it might have, I saw what, you know, who pocket it fell out of. But I kept it to give it to God.
I was
going to
say, if it's just laying on the ground,
yeah.
I've got to assume that God has blessed me.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I better make this more specific.
If it's a wallet, I'm going to give it.
But the point is, it's like God doesn't, and some of us, right, are like, well, I work really hard for God. I serve him. I do things. I'm going to have this little bit of sin is mine. I'm not giving it up, right? Like,
yeah.
God, I will give you Sunday through Friday, but Saturdays are mine, right? That's kind of like the, and he's like, no, I want your obedience, not your sacrifice, right? I want your obedience. That's worship, right? And that gets really hard. It is really hard. And sometimes, right, because we just have, you know, like, there are times when it's just, there's an, it doesn't happen often, but there are times there's an audible, like, God is like, go here, right? And honestly, I feel like those are easier to obey sometimes because you're like, oh, God really told me to do this, right? I should do this. Unless you're Jonah. Or me, but like, you know, I think in general, it's a little, but then there's just this vague, like, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? That's the question we have. And that's why I love, Thessalonians, where it says, like, rejoice in everything, pray always, right? And that's God's will for you, right? And then Micah, what does God require of you? Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And sometimes it's like, well, what does that actually mean, God? I want a playbook. And like, God's like, no, I want you to be with me and figure this out.
I think sometimes also we kind of do the Pharisee thing of like, but who is my neighbor? Like, where do I, what exactly do you? You know,
we
get legalistic because
right.
they don't want to do it.
Yes.
That. Right, we want
yes.
to pull it apart.
Oh, yeah, there's always a good, I'm really great at loopholes. You didn't say I couldn't do this. So,
yeah, you don't eat the daisies, right?
Yeah, right? Like,
I ate the roses.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so where are you delaying to obey God? This is, again, this sermon is really a lot of questions for you. And I have no idea. Maybe you're like, I got it. Maybe you were a little more sanctified than me, and you're like, I got it. I'm not delaying. I'm following God. I know for me, I don't know if it's obedience, but I know that for me, I've not been renewing my mind. That's where I, and so it's not, I'm not loving God with all my mind right now. Like, I can say that very easily. And so that's not necessarily obedience, but that's a way of putting it. I guess you could also ask, like, where are you delaying to love God? That's my last question. While you think about that, I'm going to do communion, and I'm going to throw... Oh, wait, I have one more. I lied.
Do we have juice?
No, we have orange slices. Sorry. It's weird. So ending with, how does God know that you love him, and how does the world know? And while you think about that, I'm going to play Give Me Your Eyes for just 1 minute because it's such a good song for today. Okay, go away.
My good heart.
I just thought, how does God know that you love him? Omniscient.
I got that. I like that. I'm gonna borrow that too.
I don't know.
Well, and then in Peter, when he asks him how do I know you love me and all this stuff, and he says, feed my sheep over and over again. Alright. Here you go. I'm gonna pass out, don't take communion yet, but journal and I'll pass things out. If you are online, feel free to grab some juice and a small piece of bread or something to join us with communion.
Or an orange slice.
Those oranges look dark. Down from a broken
sky, traced up by the city lights.
I know, I thought they might be
grapefruit
for a
second.
Yeah.
Best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top. Hold on for the sun to stop. Breathing the familiar shock, confusion and chaos. Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms.
Obeying God is intimately connected to loving him, okay? So obeying him, all of these ways we obey him, are intimately connected to loving him. I'm so grateful God gives us a new heart, right? And a new way of thinking about things, right? Because that's what makes the obeying God, sometimes it doesn't feel worth it, right? Sometimes in, is it March? March we're going to talk about sin. Looking forward to that sermon. I see you haven't talked. Will you read Samuel 15:22?
But Samuel replied,
5, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than to fast the fat of rams.
Good. So this is after Saul, where like God's like, kill everything. And then Saul's like, well, I kept the best stuff to sacrifice, right? And this is where Saul gets rejected. Because he's like, no, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to use this as worship to God. And God says, no, I want your obedience. I don't want your sacrifices, right? This in the modern day might be, you don't see it as much anymore, but I think if you're in a higher social economic class or been to those churches, you might see it where people are like, I sinned a lot on Saturday. Here's an extra 100 in the plate, right? Like, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. I'm probably going to do it again. Here's $200, right? Like, this is how I don't see that at our church.
Love
so,
bombing.
Yeah.
Well, here's 1,000 if you look the other way.
Yeah, like, right? If we never talk about this again, like, right? Or people who, you know, make their money in less than legal means, and then they're like, but I'll just give some to God.
Like,
I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying.
Hypothetical.
Yes.
We're not gossiping.
Yes. And
there you
the...
go.
That's really hard
for me, too.
But, you know, there is that sense. But, oh, I only kept the $3,000 I found in the parking lot because I was going to give $1,000 to God. Right? Like, I think it might have, I saw what, you know, who pocket it fell out of. But I kept it to give it to God.
I was
going to
say, if it's just laying on the ground,
yeah.
I'm going to assume that God has blessed me.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I better make this more specific.
If it's a wallet, I'm going to give it to
But the point is,
yeah.
It's like God doesn't, and some of us, right, are like, well, I work really hard for God. I serve him. I do things. I'm going to have this little bit. This little bit of sin is mine. And I'm not giving it up. Right? Like,
yeah.
God, I will give you Sunday through Friday, but Saturdays are mine. Right? That's kind of like the... And he's like, no, I want your obedience, not your sacrifice. Right? I want your obedience. That's worship. Right? And that gets really hard. It is really hard. And sometimes, right, because we just have... you know, like, there are times when it's just, there's an very, it doesn't happen often, but there are times there's an audible, like, God is like, go here, right? And honestly, I feel like those are easier to obey sometimes because you're like, oh, God really told me to do this, right? I should do this. Unless you're Jonah. Or me, but like, you know, I think in general, it's a little, but then there's just this vague, like, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? That's the question we have. And that's why I love, Thessalonians, where it says, like, rejoice in everything, pray always, right? And that's God's will for you, right? And then Micah, what does God require of you? Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And sometimes it's like, well, what does that actually mean, God? I want a playbook. And like, God's like, no, I want you to be with me and figure this out.
So. I think sometimes also we kind of do the Pharisee thing of like, but who is my neighbor? Like, where do I, what exactly do you... You know,
I have
legalistic because
right.
They don't want to do.
Yes,
right. We want
yes.
to pull it apart.
Oh yeah, there's always a good. I'm really great at loopholes. You didn't say I couldn't do this. So,
yeah, don't eat the daisies, right?
Yeah, right. Like
I ate the roses.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So where are you delaying to obey God? This is, again, this sermon is really a lot of questions for you, and I have no idea. Maybe you're like, I got it. Maybe you are a little more sanctified than me, and you're like, I got it, I'm not delaying, I'm following God. I know for me, I don't know if it's obedience, but I know that for me, I've not been renewing my mind. Mm. That's where, I'm not loving God with all my mind right now. Like, I can say that very easily. And so that's not necessarily obedience, but that's a way of putting it. I guess you could also ask, like, where are you delaying to love God?